We have a lot in store. We look forward to our Monday guests joining us, as they normally do. Dr. Jerry Punch, a little bit later this hour for his weekly visit, will be joined by Rob Lewis of AllQuest.com to start hour number three. Tennessee baseball coach Tony Vitello. Squad has won four straight SEC series. They have not lost a weekend as of yet. And he will join us at 5:35, and then later this evening, after your chance to win with a Sports Fix at 6, we will have a Tennessee football practice report with Eric Kane, comments from Tennessee football, and it all leads up to 7 o'clock. And what, Jimmy Hyams, hoping you had a great weekend?
Well, I did, and we're looking forward to Golf Talk. We're going to be joined by Eric Redmond, who has played in the Masters, so we'll have him talking about Augusta National. I am trying to get Gene Wojciechowski. He told me he'd be traveling. And he covered the Masters for ESPN, so we're still trying to see if we can't work him in tonight. But look forward to that. Might also have Bryce Lewis, who for the Vols ended up winning the tournament at the Country Club of Birmingham, his first college victory. So outstanding performance by Bryce Lewis.
Outstanding. So we look forward to Golf Talk, and there is a lot to get to. And we'll remind folks that they can enjoy some Tennessee softball later tonight, as thankfully they are making a really quick return to the diamond after having to go on the shelf last week.
Yeah, and so they have their game at 6 o'clock today, and then that's Tennessee Tech. They got Tennessee State in the doubleheader on Wednesday, and then they have a weekend series at South Carolina. And it was just kind of unfortunate when they had to shut it down. John, they only had one player that had a positive, but due to contact tracing, they had to shut it down. And that's just kind of the world we live in right now. So looking forward to them getting back on the diamond and see how they perform today against Tennessee Tech.
Yes, so glad to see them back at it. And it's hopefully they won't lose the momentum, because they were coming off that first SEC series win where they did such a nice job of taking down Kentucky.
Yeah, they did. And they won the games that Ashley Rogers started. She was dominant in both of her performances. In the other game, I think Kentucky might have scored 13 runs. That tells me Tennessee's looking for that second pitcher. They need somebody besides Rogers that they can rely on. And we'll see if they can find him. Because when you get an SEC play, Rogers won't be pitching every game. You need to find another strong arm.
Yes, they do. And we'll see how it goes for them as they now get to get back after it. And we'll see exactly how it goes to when it comes to perhaps rescheduling what was that where they were supposed to be this past weekend at Mississippi State.
Yes, so looking forward to that and seeing where they go. But Ashley Rogers has been terrific. She is just came off winning the SEC Pitcher of the Week. She went 5-0 with an earned run average of like 0.81. So she's been fantastic. She leads the SEC, or is second in the SEC in like 6 pitching categories. So and it's kind of a shame that last year the Lady Vols fell out of the top 25. Well, Ashley Rogers didn't pitch one game, and that hurt their cause last year. But anyway, we'll see how they perform. And then, John, the baseball team winning 2 out of 3. They beat a Florida team that was a preseason number one team in the country, and a lot of exciting, a lot of close games along the way. And they did hold their own in the polls, right? They're still either 4 or 5 in the majority of the polls.
Actually, what they've done is they've continued to climb. There was one poll in which they did stay the same. Collegiate baseball, they were 4 last week, 4 this week. From 7 to 5, Baseball America. 6 to 5, D1 baseball. Haven't seen National Collegiate Baseball Writers. That'll come out before 6 o'clock, I believe. Perfect Game from 4 to 3. Coaches poll from 4 to 3. And the 11.7 podcast, 3 to 2.
Wow. So that's pretty pretty high territory for Tennessee baseball. That just underscores what a great job Tony Vitello has done. All right, well, we'll jump to our news and notes brought to you by Image Matters, technology you need, people that you can trust. I did go to the Tennessee football practice. It was open to the public Saturday morning. There were several thousand people there. It's kind of hard to estimate that when they're spread out and you don't really have a good view. I was in the stands, and so maybe 4,000 or 5,000 were there. But was really impressed with the running backs. And I thought that D. Beckwith was outstanding. T. Hyde scored on a touchdown run. Jabari Small and Teon Evans really didn't do hardly anything when I watched. I didn't see them get involved too much with contact. I thought the offensive line looked really good. They got a great push on several occasions, just blew the defensive line off the ball. I tell you, somebody wasn't very happy with that. Rodney Garner, the defensive line coach. He had the defensive line going through some various drills, and he didn't like hardly anything they were doing in the drill. So he, at one point, he yelled at him. He said, "We're not going to go around defensive line. We're going to go through them." And so somebody in the stands stood up and said, "Thank you, Coach Garner. We've been needing a coach like you around here for years." So, and then a bunch of people applauded. So there was some entertainment at practice. There was a quarterback drill where they would snap it to the quarterback, and even without taking a step, left or right, they would fire a pass about 10 or 12 yards directly to their left or to their right. There's no way they could be grabbing the seams. They were just catching it and throwing it as fast as they could without even moving their feet. And so that was one of the drills that was interesting. Another drill that I saw from the place kickers, they put the ball on the pylon at the goal line. So basically you're 10 yards away from the uprights, but you're at the sideline. So that angle, John, that angle only gives you about 4 or 5 feet to try to squeeze the ball through the uprights. And when I watched, I didn't see one of them that was made.
Uh-huh.
There were a lot of them that were close. But that was a really hard kick, and I think that's just kind of getting them used to having to kick at an angle when you're on the 3 or 5 or 8 yard line and you're on the hash mark, getting used to kicking at that angle. But that's a tough kick. But I've never seen that drill done before. But anyway, I did see them running a lot of 4-2-5 on defense. I did not see the two linebackers, Roman Harrison or Jeremy Banks. They did not participate. But there were several others that were not out there. So anyway, those are some of the highlights from the football practice that I saw. We touched on baseball a little bit. We touched on softball. A few other notes out there. Tennessee tennis, what a great weekend. So the Vols end up getting a win as they continue their outstanding play under Chris Woodruff. They beat number 8 Texas A&M 4-0 on senior day to run their record of 21-3, 10-2 in the SEC. They're the number 2 seed in the SEC. And so they go undefeated at home. Guess who else went undefeated at home? Lady Vols in tennis. They beat Alabama.
That?
Yeah, they beat Alabama 4-0, swept them. So you've got Allison Ojeda's team went undefeated. That's the fourth time they've gone undefeated at home. And it's, it's the third time in history that both the men and women's tennis teams went undefeated at home. They did in 2001, 2011. So a neat note for the tennis programs. Want to give a shout-out to them as they had a strong performance. In golf, men's golf, Bryce Lewis, the SEC Golfer of the Week, he won his first college title. He did it at the Collegiate Invitational at the Country Club of Birmingham. He was 6 under par. He had a great start. He was 9 under after 2 rounds. Then he shot a 74, which is 3 over, but he still won the tournament. One of only 4 golfers in the field to be under par, and the men's golf team finished 2nd in that event. The women played down at the LSU Invitational. They finished 10th out of 14 teams, and the best finish was a tie for, let's see if I can find that right quick, but 15th. It was Nicole Whitson. I'm sorry, she tied for 6th, and the team was 10th, and so she was named the SEC Newcomer of the Week. So congratulations to her on that. All right, a few other notes out there. We've got Tennessee hiring a basketball coach, Justin Gainey, 15 years of D1 coaching experience. He's been in the ACC, the Pac-12, the Big East. He was a really good point guard at North Carolina State, and when he played there, he went against a coach at Clemson by the name of Rick Barnes. Barnes liked the competitiveness of Gainey. Gainey was an associate head coach at Marquette this past year, and he was also an outstanding high school player who had his jersey retired. So Justin Gainey joining the staff along with Rod Clark after Tennessee lost Kim English and lost Dez Oliver. Okay, just a couple other notes. Vanderbilt's Scottie Pippen Jr. is declared for the NBA draft, but he has not hired an agent. Tennessee State, it's been reported, has hired Eddie George as his head coach, And an advisor to him is going to be a guy named Jeff Fisher. Fisher was a longtime head coach of the Oilers and Titans. He was a head coach for Eddie George. And so George is hiring Fisher on his staff, it looks like. And Fisher's son, Brandon, is going to be the defensive coordinator at Tennessee State. Alabama got a grad transfer that Tennessee was looking at. His name is Noah Gurley from Furman, a 6'8 player who had 15.4 points and 5.8 rebounds. He was a three-year starter, Florida, Auburn, and Tennessee with the others contending for Gurley. Kentucky in women's basketball has lost a 6'1 forward, Kiki McKinney. Why do we bring that up? Well, she's from Knoxville, and she's got 1 year of eligibility left, and she's going to play somewhere else. She said last month she was going to play her fifth year at Kentucky. Now she's decided to go elsewhere. She has been rated the number 11 player in women's basketball in the transfer portal. She's got 94 career starts. And Hideki Matsuyama winning the Masters. John, it was historic in that he's the first male from Japan to win a major. That's his sixth PGA win. He had a six-shot lead on the back nine. It shrank to one shot on the very last hole. But the theatrics started on number 15 when he went for the green and two, hit it over the green, into the water. Xavier Schauffele made a birdie, cut it to a couple of shots, and then Schauffele makes a triple bogey on 16. That was the end of that. It was entertaining there toward the end, but Matsuyama for a while was just running away with it. So we'll talk more about that on Golf Talk. At Arkansas, a forward, Ethan Henderson, is transferring to Texas A&M within conference transfer. We'll see how that goes. And then, John, it looks like the NCAA is going to open it up for official visits here pretty soon. At least that's one of the proposals on the table. So we'll see how quickly that occurs. And then I was looking at CBS Sports. They had a mock draft in basketball by Kyle Boone. And he's got number one, Cade Cunningham, number two, Evan Mobley, number three, Jalen Suggs. And the first player from the SEC at number nine is Keon Johnson of Tennessee going to the Bulls. Number 11, Moses Moody of Arkansas. Number 12, Jaden Springer of Tennessee going to the Pacers. So he's got two Vols in the lottery, first 12 picks. Trey Mann of Florida is number 13 pick going to Golden State. At 14, Cam Thomas of LSU going to the Spurs. At 18, Isaiah Jackson of Kentucky going to OKC. And then Sharif Cooper of Auburn going to the Clippers. And Brandon Boston of Kentucky going to the Jazz. So the SEC under this mock would have six of the first 18 players, eight of the top 30 in the NBA draft. We will see how accurate that ends up being. And those are our news and notes brought to you by Image Matters, technology you need, people you can trust.
That's Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. We invite you to join us today, 656-9900, 656-9900.
John, what are your thoughts on Eddie George and Jeff Fisher and Fisher's son at Tennessee State?
Well, I really think it's a very interesting decision by Eddie George to take this position. I wonder if what we have seen with Deion Sanders at Jackson State is something that's influenced this. And so I just wonder what George's experience is and what it'll be like for him to assemble a staff. I think that he's very excited about it, and I think this reflects so well on Mickey Allen.
Yeah, and he's got Peerless Price on that staff as well. So, yeah, I just sent a message to Mickey seeing if we can't get Eddie George and Jeff Fisher on. I think that'd be a lot of fun to talk to them about that situation. I think George is making a really smart hire to get Jeff Fisher there to help him learn the ropes of being a head coach, because Eddie George, I don't believe, has any coaching experience. So it's going to be very beneficial to have someone like Fisher on your staff to help you in that regard. But we're seeing a little bit more and more of this. There was the coach that was at Tennessee that was the offensive coordinator. I want to say his name last name, Larry Scott's what I think his name was. And he was at Howard, and he had an offer to go to a bigger school, and he said, no, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to try to help historically black college and university. So we're seeing a little bit more of that out there. And so, but it is interesting that we have that that kind of movement going on with coaches going to these historically black schools.
Yeah, and I really think that it's so wise, and I'll bet you Jeff Fisher – couldn't be more happy to lend a helping hand and guidance to one of the best that ever played for him. And so I think this will probably put a little charge in his batteries, And I also think that's a great resource. And it's so wise when, and it's also the most difficult thing to admit, to know what you don't know and yeah. say, I need your help in this regard. So I just think that we'll see if it works out. There's no guarantees because it can be really tough. And that's a program that has really struggled to find pockets of sustained success of late. But I do think that you talk about a front man that'll be, I think, perfect for it. Eddie George is a great start.
Yeah, I think so, too. And also, we've been hearing a lot of folks talk about how Jeff Fisher wants to get back into coaching. Well, and I think he aspired at a higher level, but maybe this gets his foot back in the door. Maybe he does this, and then he makes himself attractive for folks to get hired. You remember he did a radio interview in Nashville saying that if Tennessee called, he would be very interested in the Tennessee job.
Yes.
So I do think that he has a desire to get back into it, college level, NFL, wherever it is, and maybe this is just getting his foot in the door. So we'll see what happens there. A couple other notes. Bobby Petrino wins the Missouri Valley Football Conference at Missouri State. This team went 5-4, and so I saw his name back in the news. And then this was kind of interesting to me as well. A Houston Chronicle reporter, Aaron Wilson, apparently lost his job defending Deshaun Watson during a Boston radio interview. He said that the lawsuits were money grab. He said they were ambulance chasing. And he said you don't negotiate with terrorists. He was trying to explain that players that have a good reputation like Watson should not be making payments to people that are making allegations just so they'll go away. He expressed that he was skeptical about the claims and that he was not going to throw a guy under the bus without proof. The Houston Chronicle said that they're not going to tolerate that sort of commentary. And they said that from here on out, if anybody that works at the Chronicle that makes a media appearance, they have to get permission from their supervisor to do so. So I guess maybe nobody or few people knew that he was going to go on the air, but he was defending Deshaun Watson to a significant degree, and I guess the newspaper felt like he didn't have proof to be going out there and he shouldn't be calling those that are making these allegations terrorists. So he lost his job over that. That's a kind of a pretty good lesson to a lot of us in whatever business, newspaper, radio, TV, to choose your words carefully.
Yeah, and he's not a newcomer. He's a veteran, and he's worked quite some time alongside John McClain covering the Texans and the National Football League. And I can understand if you have those thoughts and feelings. Still, I just think in the world we live in, and especially when you are talking about so many different allegations, it's one thing if you can count on one hand the number of allegations, but you just look at the sheer number as we've discussed, and, I mean, discussed with John McClain, who he himself has said, you just look at this mess. He's not expecting Deshaun Watson to be the starting quarterback for the Texans this fall, whether it be because he's somewhere else or perhaps even if he is somewhere else not being able to play because the NFL has him either under lock and key with what would be a violation of their policies and different things like that. So you just have to be cautious because you have a thought doesn't mean you have to share it.
Well, yeah, that's true. And I get the idea that if there's not any proof, but to say don't negotiate with terrorists and then ambulance chasing and money grab, you're probably crossing the line. Even if you believe that Deshaun Watson is innocent, and he may be, I don't think it's wise to kind of go after those that are making the accusations. The newspaper editor also said we don't accept opinion, speculation, or baseless assertions, which is the way they felt about Wilson's comments.
Well, so, again, some are alleged to have gone through, the charges themselves are really serious. There's nothing that's been on the criminal side in terms of any charges brought, but there are starting to be investigations. And so I do think that you can't just write this off and say it's a money grab because of this, because still the sheer number to me tells you that, okay, while there is what Deshaun Watson's reputation has been up until this year as, I think, a fairly significant part of the equation, once one came out, there were so many, it seems as though there are more than just a few that want to have their voice heard.
It almost reminds me of the Hollywood producer, Harvey Weinstein.
Yes.
Where you had a couple that came out, and then it's like, oh, no, wait. And not next thing you know, they're 20, 30, or 40. And it's like, okay, we got a problem here. So that's the way it's starting to look like with Deshaun Watson to me.
It's always a pleasure when we get to welcome to the program Dr. Jerry Punch. His appearance brought to you by New Balance Knoxville in the Suburban Shopping Center. Shop local. Shop at New Balance Knoxville. Doc, there's no reason to even bother with the website when you can get the incredible treatment the moment you walk through the door. They also offer curbside pickup and delivery, and they will take care of you literally from head to toe and 24/7.
Yeah, absolutely. Sharon and David and all the great folks at New Balance at Knoxville there in the Suburban Shopping Center. You go by there. Here again, you call them and tell them that once they get your sizes, you can do, they can curbside pickup, they can delivery. So many varieties. If you go around town, a lot of places are having trouble getting inventory. You go to department stores. And I heard someone say, hey, I went to look at so-and-so for inventory. I said, why are you looking there? And they said, well, with the New Balance in Knoxville, we should have gone there first time because they had everything we were looking for. They've got a tremendous variety. They will perfectly fit you, and they will take care of you from that day forward. So, absolutely, they are the fit specialist, New Balance of Knoxville, there in the Suburban Shopping Center.
If you have a question or comment for Doc, 656-9900, 656-9900. Star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. Doc, what was it like to see Josh Heupel and his staff put their team through the paces and welcome the public? Thankfully, the weather cooperated so that a few thousand could get a peek at the orange and white for the first time under their new staff.
Well, I think it was great. I think it was wonderful for, first of all, you know, I love what Josh Heupel has done, opening up the team as much as he can, you know, safely to the media and to the fans, embracing the players he's got there, opening up this. I think this offense is going to be fun to watch. And I realize that they've got some challenges, some talent positions they got to fill, but some hope. They're going to be fun to watch. They're going to be a fun team to go see with the 8 home games this year. And I, you know, I really like it. You know, you know, Josh Heupel, you know, didn't get to where he is, you know, so quickly, without being a really good offensive coach, much less a head coach now. So, you know, and I think they're gonna really surprise some people. You know, and here again, down on numbers, down on maybe talent right now, but I still think they're gonna put on a heck of a program, a heck of a show. And this Saturday may have been the first glimpse of the fact that I think people are really going to enjoy that offense. Every time I talk to one of my colleagues at ESPN that would go physically and do a Central Florida game, they would come out of there and say, well, this is so much fun to watch. That you better not take a drink of water between plays because you may miss a play or two, but they're going to snap it pretty quickly. But anyway, I think it's an omen for good things to come for Tennessee, and it's about time.
Doc, one thing that I got a kick out of was when Tennessee, they started on like the opponent's 17, so they only had 17 yards to go. But there was a tackle that was made, and offensive lineman Kyron Calvert objected to the way the defender threw the running back down. So Calvert goes over and starts jawing with the defensive player. Meanwhile, they're getting lined up at the line of scrimmage. He runs over, doesn't get set, flag, 5-yard penalty, illegal procedure, and the coaching staff jumped all over him. Look, we understand that you didn't like the tackle, but you got to get lined up because we're running another play. This offense is really going to go fast, and, Doc, I think fans are going to enjoy this pace.
You know, Jimmy, and that's a prime example. That's one subtle way to teach discipline. You just cost your team 5 yards, and because you couldn't maintain your discipline. It's okay to be angry, but take it out on your next block. Get back to the line of scrimmage, get lined up, and take it out. Be physical with the guy you're going to block or the linebacker you're supposed to reach on the next play. You know, I tell people that this tempo is going to be – it's going to take some getting used to. I mean, Wake Forest University snapped the football faster than anybody in NCAA football in Division I like two of the last 3 years. And they were snapping in an average of every – I think it was 19.1 seconds. When I did a Wake game there last year against Virginia – you literally could not take a breath. The receivers would go down the field and turn around if the ball, when the ball was over, before the ball even hits the ground, if it's not being thrown again, they're turning around and running back to the line of scrimmage to get lined up. That's how fast the tempo is. And, I mean, teams that they should have had trouble beating, they just wore out their defenses, you know, in part of the half because they couldn't get lined up. So I think this is going to be fun for Tennessee fans to see.
And one drill that they did, Doc, I mentioned earlier, but they had the quarterbacks taking a snap in the shotgun and then firing it immediately to the left. They didn't even take a step. They didn't even have a chance to grab the laces on the football. Catch and fire. And to a receiver, that's probably going to be a running back in the flats over there that they're throwing to. But they were working on that drill, and I thought that's an indication of what they're going to try to do. They're going to try to spread the field. They're going to throw short passes. They're going to throw quick passes. They're going to go vertical at times. But I think that's just a part of the arsenal that they're going to throw out there, of those quick passes that they held those quarterbacks working on, which didn't always work for Tennessee last year.
Well, Jimmy, I think, you know, we talked about it last year. With that stable of running backs they had last year, you know, why not get the ball in their hands in open field? Why not get them in space? And, you know, Jim, all these guys that call, the wonderful callers we get on Mondays, that's what I remember Jim specifically saying. He asked me, say, Doc, why don't they throw the football quickly to our running backs in space? And I said, Jim, I can't answer the question either. And that's the same question that people doing the football games are asking. You got those guys that can make people two and three miss at a time. Get them the football quickly as opposed to waiting till a safety or a linebacker can bracket them, you know, outside of where even if they catch it, they can get 3 or 4 yards. You know, get them the football. And that's what Lincoln Riley does such a nice job at Oklahoma, and that's what Wake Forest did such a nice job. That's why I think they played. That's why they were able to stay with Clemson for a while, even though they were completely outmanned. I think that's going to give that kind of creativity, I think, is very refreshing. I think Tennessee fans are going to like it.
Our guest, Dr. Jerry Punch. If you have a question or comment for Doc, 656-9900, 656-9900, star 990 is free. For AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers, the toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. Our guest, Dr. Jerry Punch. His appearance brought to you by New Balance Knoxville. Shop local. Shop New Balance Knoxville in the Suburban Shopping Center just west of Westtown Mall. Let's check in with Jim. You're on Sports Talk. Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Hello.
Hey, Jim.
Good afternoon.
Hey, Jim.
Good afternoon, Dr. Punch. You know, one of the interesting things about sports is the way different sports evolve. They change over a period of time. I think college football is a really good example of where that sport is now in terms of it's a game where offense is really emphasized, and it's hard to play that defensive game anymore. And of course Nick Saban changed into that, and so that sport has changed. I'm curious about college basketball. We just ended the season last Monday. When you look at the top teams now, or even not necessarily the top teams, but just teams in general, where do you see the game right now trending? Because you've got coaches that are very comfortable with basically using the three-point shot as their offense. You've got coaches that still want to have three-point shooting, get a lot of points from beyond the arc, but they don't want to give up points in the paint either. They want to have some semblance of balance. And obviously one of the things that dictates what a coach is going to do is, you know, what his players are going to do in terms of their skill level. If you've got guys who can't shoot three-pointers, quit jacking them up. Where do you see right now the game of college basketball in terms of how it's played, and where do you see it going over the next, you know, 5 years, say?
What do you think, Doc?
Well, I think that's a great question, Jim. And I think what we saw, I mean, this year, well, to take Tennessee, for example, I mean, Rick Barnes' defense, I mean, they play a smothering defense, and they're active and they're aggressive. But a lot of teams in the SEC figured out that if they can reverse the basketball quick enough against Tennessee's defense, as good as Tennessee was, as athletic as Tennessee was, And if you can shoot that 3-point shot, you can score pretty openly against Tennessee. You don't have to penetrate as much. And so many of these teams were able to, Arkansas, for example, Alabama, for example, that outside shooting, Auburn, for example, you know, they just were able to get those shots up. Not that they weren't contested, but they were not completely contested because of their ability to reverse the basketball. And then look at the teams like Gonzaga and Baylor. I mean, for much of the year, I'm not sure for the entire year, but for much of the year, Gonzaga had all 5 starters averaging in double figures. And then Baylor, and they're like, they reminded me of UNLV, the run and shoot. They just fly up and down the floor, and it was all about offense, you know, penetrate. Rather than taking a 5-foot jumper or lay-in or floater, they would penetrate to within 6 feet of the basket, dish it out to the side for a 3-point shot. That's what in Gonzaga and Baylor did the same thing. So I think you're right. I think my opinion is that you've got to be able to score now. And even though defense is great, so many teams today, you know, they keep reversing that basketball on you quickly enough, and they can jack it up from outside. You won't have any way to stop it unless they miss.
Jimmy?
I kind of echo what Doc said. And I do think it's an interesting change. I still think a good mid-range game can do wonders. I thought that Gonzaga had that. I thought Gonzaga scored at all levels, around the basket, mid-range, three-pointers. So I think that's the most effective. But sometimes it's hard to find enough talent to be able to do that. But I think it kind of evolved a little bit toward the NBA game, which, Jim, I think you were suggesting.
Yeah.
Shoot a layup or a dunk, or you shoot a three.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and watching the games – in the tournament, I was just amazed that some of the games, the shooting was just absolutely incredible in terms of the 3-point shot. I like to see a little more balance, not just strictly or so much stuff on the perimeter beyond the arc. I do like to see stuff under the basket as well. But I was just curious where you think this may be going. Well, guys, I appreciate your thoughts. Have a good afternoon.
You too, Jim. Thank you very much. And I think it comes down to, Jim referenced it in his comments, that you've got to have the personnel because, Jimmy, anybody can throw up a three. It's just you have to hit some. And not everybody has the personnel to where they can make that the staple of their offense. You look at a team like Alabama, that was a squad that if it had a cold first half, you could perhaps count on it heating up in the second half. It would be a team whose defense would create more opportunities on offense. And that's something that we heard at Tennessee when Bruce Pearl was in place, that he wasn't necessarily worried about missed open shots. And Rick Barnes has said the same thing. He doesn't mind anybody missing a shot if it's a good shot. But the defense is going to give you the opportunity to get those points back if indeed you have the open three and you take the open three.
A quick note of interest, while there was a lot of great shooting going on in the tournament, there was a Saturday, I think, of the second round. I watched there were 8 games that day. 7 of the teams shot 27% or worse from 3-point range.
Yeah, there was also some horrid shooting going on.
Yeah, you had a mixture of it. So you had some outstanding shooting and then some bricks.
Yes.
So Butch Jones would have appreciated it.
That they would have, and they've added to the skyline in Indianapolis. Yep. We'll get a break. We've got more with Doc Punch coming up, another half hour with Doc. If you have a question or comment for him, 656-9900, 656-9900. His appearance brought to you by New Balance Knoxville. Shop local. Shop New Balance Knoxville in the Suburban Shopping Center just west of Westtown Mall. This is Sports Talk on 99.1, The Sports Animal.